quiet, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought he was, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look.
You've got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one cracking day, for Cylons to bring us down to possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't...
I'll fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse.
Hey, this is Scott with part three. I don't know if you want to use all this or just edit me out. Doesn't matter. The Hateful Eight panel was great with Quentin Tarantino and the whole cast of that. Joss Whedon at his panel announcing Twist, the Victorian female Batman comic he's doing for Dark Horse. And then Comic-Con gave him the Comic-Con Icon Award this year. He seemed pretty, you know, legitimately moved by that. And I think, also I was able to attend the WB panel. And I think I echo most of the comments that there was nothing really all that exciting or new. There's still nothing that I've seen about Suicide Squad or Batman versus Superman that gets me excited for it. And I feel bad about that. I'm a lifelong Batman fan, and I'm just not that excited. So, you know, hopefully when I go see the movie, it'll, you know, turn me around. I think the highlight was that they did have, you know, basically the whole cast of Batman Superman come out at the end and do the panel. They had the whole cast of Suicide Squad literally walk out, wave at the crowd. Will Smith said a few words, and then they walked off. So that just, they were just all there, and then they left. So that was kind of weird. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. From WB looked decent. So, you know, you got Armie Hammer. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. But so the panels that I was able to get to, I had a really good time. There was so much going on offside. I think I have to mention all of that, and then I'll wrap this up. So, you know, legendary internet group Nerdist Geek and Sundry Smart Girls over at Petco across the street had what they called hashtag Carnival. It was a lot of fun. Laser tags, photo booth, very intimate, small panels for that were, you know, 15, 20 minutes long. Orphan Black, Felicia Day, there were book signings. I got to see Ian Ziering do Sharknado, and I got my Loot Crate Sharknado book signed by him, so that was kind of fun. There was a Battleborn video game trial, so the offsite stuff was great. NerdHQ was having the conversation for the cause. There was a Night Vale party, which I didn't get to attend. There was a Geek and Sundry pop-up party, which I didn't get to attend. So, again, there was so much stuff going outside of the con, inside of the con. Even if you didn't have badges, you could have gone down there and had a blast for the whole week. So, again, this year felt a lot more smooth, and I would say my highlight of the whole panel was seeing Blades from the Guild in line for a stall in the bathroom. So, you know, celebrities are just like us. They have to take a crap, too. keep up the good work on the show, guys. I really appreciate being a part of it, and look forward to hearing the episode. Thanks.
So there you go.
Hello.
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 It's a West Coast Scott game.
West Coast Scott Part 2 is what we're calling this episode, right?
It is. And really, it's just us being, I'm pulling back the curtain, being sort of lazy. Because we probably could have played that one last week. We did discuss most of what he said in there last week.
What's that motion you're doing, OG? The stretch motion. What's that?
That's the uh-oh. That's the uh-oh motion. No, but look, thank you again to Scott for the insight. A couple of things that I think were really important. Uh-huh. One of the big takeaways was you could go down there for the week without a badge and have a lot of fun.
You could.
That's an interesting comment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good comment. I like that comment. It makes me happy.
Right.
That you could do that.
Never again.
Without the shenanigans of it.
Never again going.
Oh, no. No.
But I'm glad that the people who do go have a good time.
Absolutely.
You enjoy.
And get us stuff.
And get us stuff.
There you go.
Still have not gotten the Funko Shark. Just saying.
It's elusive.
Funko Jaw is still eluding me. However, can we open right up with San Diego exclusives went on sale at Hasbro.com yesterday.
Oh, my.
For seven. Like, it was literally. Some people are saying it was 7 minutes. Other people are saying it was 3 minutes before the Star Wars piece was gone.
No, duh. I mean, no shit. I mean, that was going to go fast.
However, you can still get the Ant-Man piece.
Okay.
I believe that is the only one that's still left available. I was actually considering the Doctor Strange piece for like 6 seconds for various reasons, which I won't get into. But I was considering it for about 6 seconds. I don't know that it made it up there. From what I understand, and I could be wrong, and I'll be gladly corrected on the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
I guess that should be PK doing that.
Well, it's all right. He'll get there.
I got to learn those numbers first.
Yeah. So I didn't see it. The only two I did see, in fact, was the Star Wars one. Well, no one saw the Star Wars one. And the rumor was that they put, and I hope this is true, that they put 100 of them aside from Comic-Con to sell online. 100.
They didn't have to put any aside, let's be honest.
I don't think that's the point here.
Well, I think the point is that the fact that they put some aside, considering how hot that commodity was.
I don't know. I
mean, the argument is they should have made more in general, right? That's
right.
What we kind of discussed last week.
At the very least, to appease whatever demand you have at the event itself, and with limitations, too. Don't let people walk out of there with a fucking case.
Of course.
Like has been seen before.
No, I get
Limit that son of a bitch to the two per person, whatever you're going to do, but have ample supply to get everybody.
What you hear PK saying right now is everything you didn't hear him say last week, by the way. just throwing that out there.
I
want to tip the hat to PK, the contributions he's made to the show. We're really thrilled to have him here. He's really, really bringing a lot to the show. What do you think, PK?
Yeah, that's kind of what the last episode sounded like.
Just segment one.
Whoops. Well, the rumor has it. I'm looking at the viewing here. PK's definitely registering this week. So if you're not hearing PK this week, we have bigger problems.
He was definitely registering last week. It's the ghost in the machine.
I don't disagree. And speaking of the ghost in the machine, August 1st, Saturday, begins the annual Begathon.
Yay!
So just like NPR, we are going to be bugging you on every social media and otherwise, other ways that we connect with you to donate to the show, as you can hear from last week and as OG stressed in his Twitter follow-ups to the show. Hey, this is why we have a Begathon.
Right.
So that we can hear PK in every episode.
Yeah. Right,
by having up-to-date equipment that we can use to produce this fabulous program. This year, in addition to being able to contribute directly via the PayPal link on bkgeekstuff.com, we're going to be auctioning off. There's going to be a couple of people who are going to be auctioning off things for the show. And they include some San Diego Comic-Con exclusives.
Nice.
A lot of them, in fact, or at least a good handful of them, as well as stuff directly from the product archives.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. We're digging out all the a lot of things from the product archives are going to be coming out.
Nice.
We will be posting Links to those auctions and those auctioneers so that you can check it out. And this is going to go on for a couple of weeks. We hope to hit our stretch goals in order to provide those additional prizes.
We'll throw them up on the website, the message boards, all the social media accounts. You'll be able to find them.
Prepare to be battered. And also, if you're following us on any of those social media sites,
sure.
How about retweeting those that information out to the people who follow you? Or hooking us up on Instagram or spreading the word via the Facebook.
Our listeners are pretty good about retweeting the new episodes and stuff like that. So I'm sure that they will take care of us.
And as important as that is, OG, that they retweet new episodes,
yes.
Nothing is more important than tweeting about the Begathon.
Absolutely.
So there we go.
Let's move forward with the show.
Because otherwise, this radio show is going to start to sound like the 1920s radio version of this show. Hello, welcome to Big Cow's Geek Stuff and all the ships at sea.
All right.
Anyway.
We have another voicemail.
See, there's something for the soundboard, sir.
Or do we want to go to that voicemail? Do we want to talk about Ant-Man and Minions first?
We can't talk about Ant-Man.
So. Oh, it's terrible.
Mm.
Slackers.
How is this possible? I have been remiss. I'm sorry.
I'm normally
mea
the one.
Culpa.
I am normally the one that does not get to go.
I feel the level of guilt that you're trying to put on me.
You should feel guilty.
It's deserved.
You should feel as though you are letting down not only myself, but the entire listening audience.
You know, I feel no guilt. I harnessed fire this weekend. So.
Well, fair enough. I mean, that's with all due respect, PK, I know that you'll get to see it eventually.
Eventually.
But as the third mic in this program and the producer, I just don't give a crap if you've seen it. I'll talk about it with you sitting here as long as we've seen it.
All right.
Just ask Scapegoat.
Here's my non-spoilerific review, and then maybe we could talk about it next week.
I really don't think this is a good idea.
No spoilers. All okay. I'm going to say is that
it was good.
I really enjoyed it. I think Marvel has redefined itself yet again by doing a film in a different genre, the heist genre. And I think that the reason why Marvel will continue to succeed is because they don't create superhero movies.
Wait a minute.
They create movies with superheroes in them that exist in other genres.
You just That's said it. You weren't going to spoil it.
That doesn't spoil
it. There was anything. A heist?
Come on.
What kind of heist?
He steals.
What? Now you're spoiling it. I just said I would go see it, and you said I won't spoil it on the show.
Listen, the fact that he steals a chicken burrito does not ruin the plot.
The whole burrito sequence now is ruined.
And
for
now
me.
You're going to tell us that he does it while he's really small.
And he doesn't order guac. So there you go.
Great.
There you go.
Ruined.
I also did see Minions over the last couple days. Really enjoyed Minions. Got to say, it was a lot of fun. So kudos to Brian
Lynch.
Why did
you enjoy Minions?
Because it was funny. It was entertaining. I like the Despicable Me franchise, and I I like it a little bit. It was a good prequel to the Despicable Me movies. Everybody was stellar. Brian Lynch did a good job. That Brian, he's a swell lad.
Mm.
We could also mention that we went to Garden State Comic Fest. At least.
Oh my God! More than mention. Yeah. OG and I had a great time at Garden State Comic Fest, and we hope to be much more involved with those cats next year. Maybe we'll be doing some things at Garden State Comic Fest. So it was in the Menin Arena in Morristown, New Jersey, which is like a medium-sized hockey rink.
Right.
And it was nice and air-conditioned in there.
It, unlike this studio right now.
Correct. And it wasn't overly packed, which was nice. But I think there was still a great crowd. Lots of cosplay. Lots of dealers. I personally thought they could have used like 30 more dealers in there somehow.
That would have been really crammed.
Well, I think they could have spaced it out differently so that it still would have not felt crammed.
Okay.
Just a thought. And also, they had a lot of artists there.
I bought a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I know that you did. I was there. And a lot of artists that we know and that we've spoken to in the past, sure. Like Caramanga.
Yep, Joe was there. And Playful Gorilla, Dad's Cartoons, those two dudes. If you don't follow them on Instagram, you should. They're both good dudes. I'm trying to think. Jim Calafiore, I got some prints from. Neil.
Gaiman?
No. Green Arrow.
Blomquist?
No, Speedy Shooting Up, Neil Adams.
Oh, yes, Neil Adams, yes. That was a big draw. I would say Neil Adams had one of the bigger booths there, which is amazing. And also, in contrast to Neil Adams, who had books and tons of prints and an enormous booth, you also had Walt Simonson.
Had nothing.
Who had a little piece of cardboard on his table that said Walt Simonson, and he literally just started signing books and doing sketches for people.
Yeah, the Hildebrandt.
Oh yes,
that is left was
the,
there.
The living Hildebrandt. I believe it's Tim.
I believe it is
Tim. Is the yeah?
Tim yes. is the living one.
Tim is yes.
Yes, Tim is still with us,
right?
And fantastic. I mean, everything. It was a great small event.
Yeah,
and
terrific.
Small is not a bad word.
No,
in this context.
No, I don't think small. I say medium event.
Okay, it was
a great medium
event.
Low medium. Yeah,
yeah. Not quite medium. Quite small.
Look, I consider the Clifton Comic Book Show a small event.
That's like a microburst.
I consider Geek Flea a small event.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit bigger than a microburst.
Right. See what I'm saying?
I feel you.
So I'm more in the medium. I'd say the range of medium is quite wide, I'd say medium. Yeah, Garden State Comic Fest. I can't wait to do that one again.
Let's jump into another voicemail. Do you have that queued up?
I believe we
have queue ups
what?
Now.
Ready?
What is
this?
Well, now hold your breath because who knows if this one's going to work. Right. We'll see what happens.
Fingers crossed.
All right. PK's Jobs on the.
Oh. Scanner 51 here from Twitter.
Nice.
Saw something online a few weeks ago that a possible reconcile between Fox and Marvel could be happening in the year 2020.
Ha!
With a AVX movie, is what I read. Asked OG about this on Twitter. He shot it down because. The website has no practicality to it, I guess. Wondering your thoughts about it. I don't think it can happen. I don't think those two companies like each other, personally. Just want to get your thoughts on it. Bye.
First of all, we're going to get Patty LuPone in here on your ass if that fucking thing rings again.
So I did shoot this down on Twitter. I'm not going to say the source behind this because we're actually friendly with the source.
Uh-oh.
So I do not want to besmirch them.
If we put the show on hold, could you tell us this? Oh, wait, we don't have that set up.
Nope, I will tell you later. But the source and the source's source, really is not so much a source, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
There is no, and it was not Latino Review. We are not friends with them. There's just no way in hell. The only way Spider-Man actually finally came about, at least was finalized, is because of that hack. I'm convinced that hack was the nail in the coffin for that to come
about. I
think
it certainly didn't help Sony's situation.
Yeah, they needed,
not at all.
They needed something big to help themselves out. Right. That was floating around on the horizon, and it was like, well,
cat's out of the bag. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
So, no, I don't think there's any chance that Fox and Marvel will get together. And quite frankly, I don't want them to get together.
No.
First of all, you already have crossovers of characters, potentially, right?
No, what I think
How would you explain that away?
What I think is, I think what's going to happen is, after this FF movie bombs, and I'm reasonably sure that it will, I think maybe Fox finally puts the nail in the FF coffin and lets it lapse back. But that's going to take a couple of years for that to occur.
Speaking of FF, did you know that there is a media embargo on reviews?
Oh, never a good
Friday morning.
Sign.
Yep.
Not normally a good sign.
Nope.
Normally.
Not always bad, mind.
No.
Not always bad.
No, but traditionally
but
speaking,
often
good.
If the reviews are good, they want a big push Wednesday.
Yep.
And Thursday to drive Thursday night sales because now remember opening weekend box office starts Thursday afternoon for a lot of movies. They don't even do midnight now. They're doing like noon on Thursday and leading into the weekend. So.
Certain films have done it to put a quash on spoilers. I think Marvel's done this with some films, but to quash spoilers with films that they knew were going to be like the Avengers, let's say.
Right.
I don't know if they embargoed the Avengers, something along that line where they're not worried about bad reviews. They know they're going to go over the moon with sales, but they want to quash spoilers and whatnot. But I don't think that's the case with this at all.
Well, you know that's not the
fear.
Case. Because there's been 4 trailers, 70 or maybe 80, I lost track at some point, TV spots.
I have it right here. It's 86.
86, there you go. Yeah. At least 5 different character perspectives going over the 4 main and Doom. So I don't think spoilers is an issue. I think it's spoiled is the problem.
Yeah. Mm. And I think what's going to happen is I think they're going to cut it loose once it fails. That's what I think.
We'll see. Because Singer made that comment earlier this week that, you know, there is a possibility for a crossover with my Power Ranger Apocalypse and Rock Biter thing.
And is what biter? Sorry?
Rock Biter. Remember Neverending Story? Oh, yes. Rock gotcha. Biter. I gotcha. All right. Let's move forward with the news.
Yes.
Can we do that? All right.
I think so.
Let's start with the Killing Joke. Did we talk about that at all last week?
No.
The
negative,
animated?
Sir.
Mm-mm. Okay.
I think the reason we didn't was because, well, yes, they've announced it, but I mean, it was only officially announced, I think, at Comic-Con.
It was officially announced at Comic-Con.
Yeah, but they've been rumoring it for over a year, so it wasn't like, it was just confirmation of something we all knew was pretty sure was going to happen. I think the news part is that they got Mark Hamill.
Yep. And, Kevin Conroy, also very interested.
Right.
Mark Hamill.
If they've got Hamill, Conroy is a no-brainer. They have to get Conroy back.
And apparently Hamill has already recorded, I think, his lines.
It could be.
I think that part is done.
Well, I think it's funny they went from they're looking to get, you know, Mark Hamill is very interested to they've got him to it's done.
Yeah, well, of course, that's the slow leak. That's the, what do we want to actually confirm? What can we actually release?
Well, he expressed deep interest in doing it. So what are the odds that he was sitting in his basement just recording stuff, you know, months and months, maybe even years ago?
He got that Hamill money, so.
Hello, I'm going to read from this book.
He should be the only one that voices Joker from now until he can no longer voice Joker.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it's just... all right. Batman versus Superman. Do we have to?
Well, you know, Scott mentioned that there was nothing new at the panel. No kidding. And he also mentioned what happened at the Suicide Squad panel.
Nothing.
Looks like we're some sort of Suicide Squad. Let's go out and save the world. Shut the hell up.
There was some information released from Zack Snyder and Ben Affleck.
It's true. It's funny because it's true.
Talking about Batman and how this isn't a Batman movie, it's a Superman movie.
That's right.
Confirming that Batman is like 45 or 46 years old.
Yes.
And he's been a vigilante for 20 years, uh-huh. And he hasn't been living in Wayne Manor. He's been living in an apartment in Metropolis.
Of course.
All sorts of things we kind of knew already.
And kind of are disgusted by.
I don't mind that he's 45 or 46.
It's fine.
Doesn't bother me.
Doesn't live in Wayne Manor, lives in an apartment in Metropolis. Oh, it's just so convenient, isn't it? Isn't every bit of this, every bit more that we hear about this, just so convenient?
This is the part
awesome?
I really wanted to read, though.
Okay.
If you haven't read this.
Wait, should I prepare?
You might want, well... Yeah, okay. I know what your comments are going to be already. So I'm watching
the PK vein.
This is from Zack Snyder, so I'm just going to read it as quickly as I can. Hold your comments until the end. What we are doing is ground up all the way. It's one giant story. The first thing we had was our Justice League concept. The other movies, in a way, have to support that. That is our Wonder Woman, our Aquaman. They have their own creative concepts that support them, but they do serve Justice League and the coming together of those heroes. I want all the other directors of the other films to be able to stretch their legs and do what they want. But at the same time, there is a big interconnected universe. I have given everyone amazing access to our story, to me, and what we are doing. All the films have like-minded conceptual jumping on points. We call it the sandbox. It has borders around it, but everybody gets to play in the sandbox. On Suicide Squad, David Ayer has a lot of specific control over his area of the sandbox. Even if he crosses the line a little bit, we see if we can push our boundaries back a little bit. So, in other words, he could have just said, we copy a Marvel.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
That's appropriate. Good on you, PK.
Thank you.
So
that works.
Yeah, I just, okay, great. You're copying Marvel. But you're not, though.
But you're not.
But you are.
They are, but they're not.
They're not at all. They're not at all.
He even says it in their ground up. He uses the from the ground up. Why didn't they go from the ground up when they realized they were fucking beat and started from scratch with an Iron Man, et cetera?
They tried. Superman
Green
Lantern was supposed to be Iron Man, my friend.
That stuff was all in...
Yes.
That was before this shit really took off and DC went, oh my God.
Green Lantern was supposed to be the cornerstone of this universe the way Iron Man was. absolutely 100% true. It would have been. It works out the same way if you think about it. Green Lantern. Let's say Green Lantern had been a movie any person could watch.
Did they? They didn't universe build in Green Lantern like they did with the first Iron Man, did they?
But what did they build in the first? What did
they introduce Fury with the post credits?
Okay, but they didn't need to introduce anybody because there's no crossover person like that. But just let me lay this out for you. If we're going guy for guy, Green Lantern would be the Iron Man of that universe. Superman would be the Captain America of that universe. Batman would be the Batman of that universe because there's no Marvel equivalent.
Hawkeye slash Widow combo.
No, it's better than that. But it's like Wonder Woman is going to be the Thor of that universe. Mm. There are parallels, and if they had followed that formula, maybe they'd be in a place now where they could do this Justice League concept. Except one thing, their cornerstone was made of shit, and you cannot build on top of shit because it's shit. That's well basically said. It.
Mm.
Right. And that's what happened. So now they're like, well, screw it. Now we're going for broke. We'll throw another Superman movie at the wall and see if it sticks. And it did, also because it was made of shit. And now they're trying to build off of that. And it just doesn't work. They can't do a Suicide Squad movie when they haven't established the universe. It just doesn't work.
Yes and no. I mean, you could argue that, well, Suicide Squad is clearly supposed to be the Guardians, right? And Guardians could have worked.
Oh.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Oh, I know.
But Guardians could have worked outside of the Infinity Stone concept. But Guardians could have worked by itself. As a matter of fact,
totally.
I argue that it does work by itself.
Totally.
If you haven't seen any of the other Marvel
films,
fine. It stands very well by itself. So Suicide Squad will not, because Batman is already in it. We know that. Et cetera.
Right.
All right. One last thing regarding the Superman, Batman, DC Universe. Chris Pine has been locked into play Steve Trevor in the Wonder Woman film. So there you go, Steve Trevor.
That's where they went with Chris Pine?
Yes. They had Chris Pine, and they were like, you know what's a shitty role we can
Are
stick Chris Pine in?
Are you fucking kidding me?
He should have been Hal Jordan.
He should have been Hal Jordan.
That actually would have been pretty good casting.
Not in that movie. In a reboot, he should have been.
Absolutely.
In a reboot. In the Green Lantern core movie that they announced, he should have been the Hal Jordan of that movie.
Well, how do we know? Maybe in this universe,
Steve Trevor becomes Hal Jordan. All right, let's move on.
Shut up.
Nonsense.
Let's move on. Let's get to the thing that I know Ken is chomping at the bit to talk about.
Uh-oh.
Channing Tatum exits... Or does he? The X-Men film spinoff Gambit.
It's a heavy rumor.
It's a heavy, almost confirmed rumor.
Not confirmed yet.
That he is leaving the film, although may stay on in a production role.
He was so excited about this movie in the few little tidbits I heard him actually talking about it. I'm so surprised by this.
Where does the breakdown fall? Do we have any info?
There has been no talk.
Nothing.
All I've seen is that the plans for the movie involving Channing Tatum started to unravel. That's the only quote that I've seen.
Yeah. Interesting.
But no explanation of what the was it a timing issue? Was it a not enough money issue?
Here's what I hope it is.
Was it a I don't like that fucking script issue?
Here's what I hope it is. Marvel Films have come to Channing Tatum and they're like, if you do Gambit, you'll never do anything in this universe. And I think Channing Tatum is a ripe piece of meat, with all due respect, no homo, for any character in the Marvel universe. That's just my thoughts.
That's an interesting
that's
thought.
My thoughts.
Okay.
And my thoughts are
entirely feasible.
Yeah, because I mean, at this point, Channing Tatum, I mean, let's be honest, there's I can name a dozen characters that Channing Tatum can play in the Marvel universe,
and I can name a dozen characters right behind you that fuck you, he should not.
Yeah, agreed. But the point is that what makes you walk away from a Gambit movie that you are so excited
especially
about?
Because he was really behind getting it made. He was almost to Gambit what Ryan Reynolds was to Deadpool in a lot of ways. He was really pushing for it.
Right.
He wanted to produce it. He wanted to star in it.
I was going the Seth Rogen Green Hornet route.
Oh, well, okay, yes.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the future holds for Channing Tatum if he's not Gambit, but clearly it's something else.
And I said this on Facebook, and I'll say it here. It was a, it's a loss, not a boon. I mean, I know Ken was not very excited about not having him in the role, but I thought he would have been. I thought he would have been fine in that role. I didn't not li- look of all the terrible people we could have had cast in that role. I mean, and there's any number of those as well.
We could have seen Taylor Kitsch again, and,
exactly,
which was also a travesty.
Right.
Josh Holloway. That's who it should have been if they did it about.
Yes.
Yeah. That's who it should have been.
Yes.
He would have been.
I don't
fantastic.
Know about. I mean, where's he been now? So is he aged yes. out of it at this point? But well, I don't know. But abso-fucking-lutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
He would have worked rather well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But well, we'll wait and see. We'll update the story as it
comes. I'm sure by the time we're done posting this show tomorrow morning, the news will have changed, and next week
sure.
we'll just look like a bunch
just
of
kidding.
Rooms, but whatever. We'll
they figured it
that.
All out in the end. Channing Tatum comes out and he goes, I never said that. What the hell?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Doctor Strange, Rachel McAdams, and the Netflix universe, because they're all sort of tied together in this next story.
Okay.
Alrighty.
So, the Netflix universe had a character in Daredevil, played by Rosario Dawson.
Remind me, I have other Netflix news.
Okay. Which was a night nurse, but not really.
Right.
They kind of altered it a little bit.
Yeah.
They changed the name of the character, but clearly that was the direction they were going.
Right.
Well, we learned today that the reason that they couldn't make her night nurse is because Marvel apparently had other plans for that character.
Okay.
Then we get the rumor last night that Rachel McAdams is being approached for Doctor Strange.
Right.
And there's a really important storyline in Doctor Strange from maybe 4 or 5 years ago that involves night nurse and Linda Carter. That's the character's name when it's not night nurse. So now the rumor is that Rachel McAdams will be cast in Doctor Strange and will likely be portraying Night Nurse in that role.
Interesting. Because Rosario is already locked in to come back for the next season of Daredevil, too. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I hear that she was also filmed some scenes for Jessica Jones.
Yeah. Mm.
So she's tied to that whole little... Look, she's the perfect, uh-oh, someone got hurt and we need someone to stitch him up character.
Right.
She could tie all of those together very nicely.
Yeah.
And just float between them. Because the filming schedule for her isn't too... too strenuous,
nope.
I wouldn't imagine, compared to everybody else. So,
And on Rachel McAdams, swoon.
Yes, I know. You do love her.
Who doesn't love her?
I like her.
Even when she, you know, PK and I were talking about this before. Even when she tries to ugly up, she can't do it. Have you seen the new season of True Detective?
No.
Desperately trying to ugly herself up, cannot do it.
All right.
Cannot do it.
That's a pretty woman, Matt.
She is a pretty... I'm not saying she's not. I don't know that I would go so far as swoon for me personally.
Swoon.
But she is a pretty woman. Sticking with Netflix very quickly, we will get Jessica Jones in the fourth quarter, which I'm surprised at. I really thought we were going to get it closer to fall. I guess fall technically could be fourth quarter if it's October. But from what I was reading, it sounds much more like it's going to be like November, December, which makes no sense to me.
What's the difference?
A
couple of weeks?
According to their plans, they hope to roll out a new Netflix season of show X, show du jour, every 6 months is the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as one ends, six months, next one. You know, and
that makes sense.
That includes season twos, obviously,
right.
And the Defenders movie when they eventually get to it,
right.
And all of those things. So
cool.
Now, Netflix is big. Yep. The Marvel Universe.
And let's talk about...
Speaking of, real quick, Sense 8, either of you?
No.
Further along?
No, I saw Minions and Ant-Man.
We're desperate for a second season of that to happen, so get
all
on it
right.
And spread the goddamn word. And listeners, too, Sense 8, you won't regret it. Wachowski's
sorry,
killing
I haven't
it.
Seen Ant-Man yet, OG.
And then,
Jesus.
Yeah. I have one more thing I want to mention.
No, hold on. Netflix.
Oh, okay, yes.
Netflix, the heavy rumor right now also is, speaking of the Disney-Netflix connection,
yes,
possibly 3 live-action Star Wars Netflix shows.
It would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a good pattern to follow.
This
for them.
Is the rumor du jour about Star Wars this week is that that they're possibly developing 3 live-action Netflix shows. For Star Wars, which is amazing.
That would be spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it worked for Daredevil. As long as you have a good team behind it, there's no reason why it shouldn't work. Although, you know, with so many different movies and spinoffs coming around.
Right.
Not that I ever think you'll have Star Wars fatigue,
right?
But you do have to find some really unique stories to kind of pursue and follow. I don't know that I could handle the Zuckus show, but I'm just saying. All right,
Zuckus and Forlom.
It's like a buddy cop show.
What?
With like Zuckus and Forlom, like
a buddy bounty hunter show.
Very quickly, I just want to mention this because it's coming out on Friday, both in select theaters and VOD. The Lego Brickumentary. Have you heard about this? This is the Lego documentary that's narrated by Jason Bateman.
Mm-hmm.
It actually sounds pretty interesting. And considering we're pretty big Lego fans here on the show and all the things that Lego is going through right now, the movie that just wrapped up, obviously Dimensions is coming. The next movie is on the horizon already. So check it out on Friday if you can. Maybe if on VOD, if it's not playing in a theater near you. But
saw a fantastic documentary on cable called Starring Adam West.
Oh, God. Was he drunk?
No, it was fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Really, really good documentary about Adam West. So definitely check that out if you get the opportunity.
Nice.
Yeah.
PK, anything else for segment one before we take our first break?
I can't think of nothing.
All right. We do have a game stuff this week, so tune in to listen to that. And, of course, you'll hear a word from our sponsor, and then we'll be back in a few short minutes.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. As expected, not a lot of games have been released this summer, hence the severe lack of Game Stuff episodes. But that's the way game news go. Also expect little to nothing out of August until the nonstop explosion of September happens. Here are some scraps of news that weren't important enough to record an episode. But much like those four movies on one DVD collection, this is about volume and not quality. Holy shirt, an actual new release! The newly reformed Sierra Games has released the first episode of King's Quest for PC, PlayStations, and Xboxes. It's developed by The Odd Gentleman, but looks like a Telltale game. This game was just announced, and I had no idea it had a release date of now. Certainly worth checking out for both you and I alike. Also released under everyone's radar was the Prototype Collection for the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, featuring Prototype 1 and Prototype 2. And these remasters run worse than the original games. Don't buy them, and forget I even mentioned it. Speaking of remastered editions, God of War 3 has been released on the PlayStation 4. Unfortunately, it's $40 for a 5-year-old game that you could buy for $10 on a PlayStation 3. If you're going to overcharge, at least make it a collection. Include God of War 1 and 2. It seems like a perfect game to pick up when it's on sale for $20. But until then, Sony is overvaluing their game. Rise of the Tomb Raider will be exclusive to the Xbox One this holiday season, then come to the PC in the spring of 2016, and finally arrive on PlayStation 4, holiday 2016. My guess is, they're trying to spend 3 times the amount of marketing dollars that they actually have to. Third-party timed exclusives have no upside. It's just a lot of waiting on the part of the consumer. Dragon Quest XI was announced for the PlayStation 4 and 3DS, and the game looks great. But there's no plans to bring it to America. So a lot of good that does me. Congratulations to the Big Kev Geek Stuff listeners around the world. Street Fighter V tried to have an online beta, but Capcom forgot how to servers, and it was cancelled. Because they're bad at their jobs. Dead Island 2 has been put on hold because the development team was either fired or left. So who knows if they're going to be looking for another developer or that game's just cancelled. Dying Light was better anyways. Hulk Hogan is a racist, so they removed him from WWE 2K16. Unrelated, the Terminator is going to be in 2K16 as a pre-order exclusive. And finally, we'll end on something that's actually good. Rocket League. Some people don't see what all the fuss is about, while others want to start organized teams. It's soccer, but instead of players, you drive remote-controlled cars. And it's fun as hell. The response has been mixed, so go check it out for yourself. But I am really into it. It's out now on PC and PlayStation 4. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
Build the Millennium Falcon. A one-to-one replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. working lights and stunning interior detail, complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step by step with your comprehensive build guide, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 381, and we're calling this one West Coast Scott Part 2.
If I leave in the next 10 minutes or so, will you guys finish out the show?
Of course we will.
Because I'm reeling with guilt over this Ant-Man thing.
You should be. You really are just really, you know, you let me down a little.
Oh, wow.
I'm just putting it out there.
That's hurtful,
sir. You know, to you, Big Kev. I look to you to be the guy that sees the shit, not me.
I see.
I had to pull strings. I had to find a babysitter.
All right. Enough.
It is called Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
I'm just putting it out there.
Wow.
Of course, you heard
What are you, my mom?
No, come on,
because I don't get that much guilt from her. Holy crap. BuildMillenniumFalcon.com, yes. Our lovely sponsor, one of the greatest Star Wars products I think it's come down in the pipe in a long time. Give them a call, 877-544-6779 to become part of that. I'm trying to work out a contest with them, OG, where we might give away a couple of the boxes. So people can get started.
Oh, yeah, we kind of teased that last week a little
I'm
bit.
Hoping maybe that might be part of the Begathon. So anybody interested in that is going to want to keep close to their social media because I'd like to really make that part of the Begathon. I'm just going to make sure that I can do that, though.
Okay.
And that's the show. So thanks for tuning in, everybody.
That's not the show.
Oh.
All right. We have another voicemail. We're going to play this one quickish. We don't have a lot to comment on it. I think PK probably has to answer a question, and then we could move on with some other stuff.
PK can answer that question in 6 words.
Here we go.
Hi, this is Tom from New Jersey, at Onabox on Twitter. I'd just like to, I guess, be the first voicemail to welcome PK or Ken or whatever you want to call him to the show. And I'm not to besmirch Scapegoat's legacy, but I'm glad that there is somebody on the show that works so well with you guys and kind of has that yang to Kev's yang.
Oh, is he
Matt
calling him the yang?
Doesn't quite cover, but he's gotten used to him over the years.
Wow.
And
I'm just
I'd
numb
like
to it now.
Ask, and I know this is a little bit out of your wheelhouse, but knowing Ken, I just want to know what his favorite magic trick of all time is.
Oh,
talk to you later.
Can I actually answer that?
Wow. Okay.
His favorite magic trick of all time was making Channing Tatum disappear from the Gambit movie. There you go. And done.
I was going for making alcohol disappear.
That is an excellent magic trick as well. My favorite in the world. That's a lot more thought than we have time for. I'll say right now, whatever one I'm performing at the time.
There you go. It's whatever one my wife doesn't punch you in the face to immediately after you.
Well, as long as I can dodge her and you know duck the knives and the pencils in my eye and every other medieval torture she wants to throw at me. One of those tricks is fantastic.
It's true. It is true.
That's
so there you go.
Crazy, man.
All right.
I want to talk about a bunch of books that came out this week because, you know, we never ever do that.
We read.
And none of these are comics.
No,
so,
I know, amazingly enough.
The fine people at the Little Golden Book Company, which is owned by Disney? I don't know if it's owned by Disney or not. Anyway, they have released all 6 chapters of the Star Wars saga thus far as Little Golden Books. So you can imagine.
I need these.
They are spectacular.
This would be a really good start for you and Frodo, that he could maybe read these with Daddy before we force him to watch all these movies.
I suspect that myself and other parents who listen to this show can immediately go to amazon.bkgeekstuff.com.
That's true.
And order all of these 6 books.
What a good book. And you know what? They're wicked cheap.
They're $5 a book.
$5.
Which means if you get them on Amazon, they're probably like $4 a book. And then you got the Prime with the free shipping.
Well, that's really good. You're
that's what
right.
I'm screaming.
I didn't even think of that. Fully illustrated in very cute ways. You should definitely check out all of these books. I think they're fantastic, and that's why I got all of them. As OG said, you'll be able to view these books with your youngins and then make them watch the movies before you drag them into episode 7 when they're 4.
Right. Look, it's going to have to be an afternoon, probably after it's been open for a week or two.
I want to go. I want to be there. I want to film the experience.
It's a difficult sell, especially because he still hasn't grasped on to Star Wars yet. Everything else,
it's fine.
Not Star Wars. It's the one thing. He's got 10 Hulk figures in his Hulk collection right now. I counted the other day.
Uh-huh.
10, all different.
Yeah.
Can't get him into Star Wars.
Okay, here's the thing. You are an irresponsible parent.
I'm not an irresponsible
you
parent.
You are an irresponsible Star Wars parent. You have allowed this Hulk nonsense to continue.
Nope.
And you have not abated by providing Star Wars.
He has 3 Darth Vader toys. Uh-huh. He's got an R2, a 3PO.
You're right.
He's got that Millennium Falcon
yeah.
with Han and Chewie.
Yep.
He's seen multiple episodes uh-huh. of Rebels. I've
he's
shown him
no,
New Hope.
He's got no, not enough context.
I've shown him things.
Okay.
In hopes that he would grasp onto one character. That's all it takes.
Right.
He has to identify with one character.
One character.
And I'm good. That's why I started with the droids. I figured R2 and 3PO, that's an easy sell. They're
right.
in everything.
You know, it's all about positioning, sir.
I know.
Hey, this is Daddy's favorite thing. Come on.
Listen,
come
we're,
on,
work,
join
we're working
in
on
the
it.
When are you going after the movies, the original trilogy?
Well, we've tried with New Hope. We made it about 45 minutes in before we started to lose our focus a little bit. So we're getting there. We're getting there.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
I'm just saying.
I hope I'm ready for episode 7. I'm working on it.
Okay.
But there you go.
I think you'll do a fine job, sir.
Sure. What is this?
This is, now I railed against this, I want to say it's probably going on 3 years ago. Neil Gaiman has issued a new version of Neverwhere to us. This is the authorized text, the author's, what do they refer to? The author's preferred text.
So what's different about it than the 3 versions I own already?
Well, a bunch of things, not the least of which is it's too dark for me to read. So I have to, like, put a light on it. It includes a special introduction.
Okay.
And a new Neverwhere story.
Oh, I gotta get it.
And that's the reason everyone is gonna get it, I think, is because of the new story. I can't remember what the new story is called.
Neverwhere, for those of you who don't know.
I do know what it's called.
One
it's
of my
inside.
All-time favorite
and mine
Gaiman books.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is ripe for a television series.
Yes.
Not made by the BBC.
How the Marquis Got His Coat Back.
Ooh, Marquis, good character.
Yeah. All right. So it's a brand new version of it, the preferred text. Now, you
like
may
the
recall
map.
Preferred text. More double dips than a Dairy Queen.
You may recall, I want to say it's 3 years ago on this show. It's possibly 4 years ago on this show.
Okay.
Last time I spoke to him, but I went in to see him on the anniversary of the release of American Gods.
Yes.
Where he had released the preferred text of American
sure.
Gods. And we talked about that, obviously, and we saw him read some things in an interview, and we got to spend some time with him, which is always a good time. And he had mentioned to me at the time, he said he thought he was going to do the same thing with Neverwhere, but there were so many other things on his plate that he didn't know when he would get to it. Well, apparently he's gotten to it.
Nice.
So here it is. I railed against it until I read the preferred text of American Gods, which I thought was really good. So now I'm really looking forward to reading this preferred text of Neverwhere and finding out what the differences are and what he thought should have been included that wasn't included in all the versions that OG has, for example.
And you can get this at amazon.bkgeekstuff.com.
It's all part of the show.
Sure. No, really, Neverwhere is one of my favorite stories. I love the story of the story. I love how it was for TV and the BBC. It was so not what he wanted that he had to write it as a story afterwards to tell the story that he wanted to tell. And yeah, I will definitely be picking this up because it's been a while since I've read it anyway. So why not?
I think the last version of the story I read was the comic by Vertigo, which was fantastic.
I did not read that. I wonder if it's been collected since. I'm sure, right?
Yeah, yeah. I have it as a collection.
All right, I'll have to grab that as well.
It was terrific.
There you go. PK, do you have anything else for this lovely segment?
I got two quick books.
Yeah,
one new, one not so new. Ernie Cline, Armada.
Oh, have you started?
I got my mitts on it, and I hate to say it because I love Ready Player One so much, and I really was pulling for Ernie Cline, but it's a sophomore book, and unfortunately doesn't have the spark
like Aragon 2, whatever that book was.
Yeah, I mean, and it's loaded with the pop culture stuff again, so it's another huge nostalgia trip. But anything else I'm going to go in is going to hit spoilerific territory.
Let's be honest.
I'm not enjoying it thus far, and I'm more than halfway through it, and
we all want Ready Player Two. I mean, let's be honest, that's what we want.
I think it, as it stands, where it is, it's a perfect story, cut, dry, done. I don't need to know anything else about that universe. I think it's great. I'm eager to see how they adapt it for a film. But I don't think he needs a sequel to that.
But that film,
of course, is called Pixels.
But here you go.
No, it is not.
I'm kidding. Oh, Jesus. Oh my God.
I think a way to write a sequel to that book, potentially write a sequel to that book, is to pick one of the other players and tell their tale.
Like the Twilight thing and now the Christian Grey book. Now we get their side of the story.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe let's hear about H.
Yeah.
H's tale. All right. You know what I mean? The same story, but from their perspective.
But from another character's perspective.
Maybe I could get behind that.
Crossover to the main event, obviously.
Listen, as disappointed as I am with Armada, go back to that well, Ernie. What the hell?
Like Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes.
There you go.
Sort of.
So that's the deal with Armada. I'm not thrilled. If the last quarter of the book changes my mind, I'll let everybody know. But the old one I have in mind that I actually want to recommend is a book from, it's a novella from 1994 that was recommended to me. Came out in 2002, and it's called The Metamorphosis of Prime Intellect. It's fucking awesome. It's by Roger Williams. It's twisted in the very beginning of the book, and there's some pretty rough stuff to get through. Listen to the reviews. If that's not your thing, then be prepared.
Then prepared, okay.
But it's a phenomenal novella focusing on AI and a radically different society in cyberspace in a very twisted future. And it's a wonderful book, and I'm tearing through it. Love it.
Nice.
Yep.
You have to go?
I gotta go.
Well, that's good.
Off to Edmund?
That's good, because the music has been playing for a hot moment.
Oh.
So that means we can actually wrap
can
the show
go.
Up.
Perfect.
We can all go and turn on the fucking air. So don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at bkgeekstuff.com. Of course, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/bkgeekstuff. You can find us on the Twitter, @geekstuffog, @bkgeekstuff, and @krmarlow.
Yes, sir.
I'm on the Instagram @geekstuffog if you want to follow show related stuff there. You can sort of follow Kev if you want. Find some of my photos from Garden City Comic Fest. I tagged him in all the ones that he took.
It should be like @pkgeekstuff. Your Twitter.
But
that won't
yeah.
be too confusing at all.
And I think that's it. Yeah.
Oh, I got a plug.
Yes, you can plug.
If you're in the New York area, you can see PK Act, a short film I performed in last year. It's been bouncing around the festival circuit. Going to be at the Chain NYC Film Festival in Long Island City, New York. And I'm really psyched about it. It's a 15-minute short, really emotional stuff, and I hope you'll support it. It's going to be on, we're screening on August 8th.
Nice.
At the festival in Long Island City. I'm calling up their little Twitter thing here right now. But yeah, August 8th, 5 p.m. is our screening. And it's they're on Twitter. I encourage you to follow them at Chain Film Fest. And the website is chainfilmfestival.com to get tickets. I unfortunately have a wedding to attend.
I was going to say, we'll be at a wedding.
So I won't be able to be at my own screening, and that breaks my heart. But I really hope you'll support the film. I'm very proud of it.
I can be there for you. I'm not going to.
Go see the movie. It's worth it, Kev. Please. Please do. And you can hammer me for my acting chops the very following week.
There you go.
And we should say also, the Begathon is on.
Yes, starting this weekend.
August 1st. Prepare to be bludgeoned.
Groovy.
Beg and plead for your support for this program.
Nice.
In many ways.
Lovely.
And with that, OG, I think we will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close so that I can go see Ant-Man. The way we end all episodes, or at least some of them, by saying, troll the respawn, Jeremy.
And on that note, we cue the music.